okay, it's 2021. That's crazy. Literally, it's the year 2021, and there are no flying cars. And when I was in middle school, I was convinced there would be flying cars by at least 2020, and there's not. So, like, let me ask this question. How many of you think there will be flying cars by the year 2040? Raise your hand. I'm with you. You're probably going to be disappointed at the rate we're going, but whatever. But it is 2021, and so with a new year comes new resolutions, new goals, this idea of, hey, I'm going to be somebody different this year. The turning of the calendar, the turning of the year has that way of making us go, okay, this is who I was in 2020. Who do I want to be in 2021? Sometimes that goes really well. Sometimes it doesn't. I remember one time in high school, I was like, hey, you know what I'm going to be this year? Sleek and smooth. And I think I got that off like a shampoo bottle that I was using at the time. And shout out Pantene. And but I was like, you know what? This is going to surprise you guys. I was not a very smooth cat in high school. And I was like, I'm going to be really smooth this year. I'm going to be sleek and smooth, in fact. And so, but within like a week, I had tripped and spilled all my food in the cafeteria. And I crashed and burned trying to talk to a girl. It was bad. So like that one, sleek and smooth, not a success. But this past year, I was like, you know what I want to do is I want to get a little bit healthier. And so I challenged myself, hey, I'm going to run 250 miles. That's just some number I picked. Honestly, I had tried to do more the year before. I didn't get it. So I was like, let me lower that number. And so I did it. And to get myself to do it, I ran a half marathon. I convinced a guy you all know and have seen a lot, David Pinio. We ran it together. I think we actually have a picture of him and I after that. He was a little faster than I am, and that's fine. So it was a success. Some resolutions are successes. Some are not quite as successful. But as I've thought about 2021, man, one remarkably simple thought has come to my mind a lot, and it's this. In 2021, I want to be a friend. Now, I didn't say I want to have a friend because I already do. And the truth is, most of you probably do too. You probably have lots of friends. But as I've looked back on 2020 and where I'm at now, the truth is, if I'm honest with myself, I feel less connected to my friends than I have in a long time. There are people I literally haven't seen face to face in over a year that I would have seen multiple times in the last year. There are great conversations that would have been had, a lot of laughs that would have been shared, a lot of hang time, great meals we would have had, friends, kids I would have played with. And the reality is, in this crazy year, in this tiring year, and then just some of the ways that I've just allowed myself to check out in some ways on friendships, I'm just not as connected to the friends that I have as I've been in a long time. And so, man, for me, it's really simple. I want to be a friend this year. And especially now, I feel like, man, I crave and need friendship more than I have in a really long time, maybe more than ever. And I'm guessing you do too. Like, if you were to be really honest with yourself in your heart, man, ask yourself, do I feel less connected or more connected to my friends than I did a year ago? Like, really connected, not like what I see on social media, or not like, hey, I know what sports team he's cheering for, or I know what show they're watching, but like, do I know what's going on in their life? Do I know what's keeping her up at night because she's worried? Do I know the things that he's like nervous about that are coming up? Man, are you less connected than your friend? I would ask you guys to join me on this resolution. Hey, in 2021, I want to be a friend. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this series, resolve. Because it takes resolve to be a friend. It takes fortitude. It takes toughness. It takes patience. It takes sticking around. It takes sacrificing yourself. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the foundation of friendship, and we're going to look at a formula of friendship. So when you think about the foundation of friendship, here's what you need to know. Friendship was founded in creation, right? And I know maybe every other time I've been up here, I'm asking you guys to look in Genesis 1 and 2, and that's where we're going to look first, because you guys have heard this idea of, hey, we were made for fellowship. We were made for friendship. You've heard that a lot. But I want to give you another idea too. We are made from fellowship. We are made from friendship. And like one way you could go with that is, hey, God is love. We're made in the image of God, so it makes sense that we would love others. It makes sense that we would seek friendship with others. But I want to point out a specific scripture in Genesis 1, and here's what it says. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. I don't know if you've ever read that and thought and noticed that it says God's talking, and this is before he's created humans. He says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And what is the us for? What's the our for? Who are the other, you know, people that are there with God? And the reality is God exists in a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, three persons in one God. And you read about all three of them in Scripture. And that's why it says us and our. And so we've got this perfect God, one God who exists in three persons. And what we find if we read Scripture is there is three things about them. One, they're equal. One's not better than the other. They're distinct, which means they have specific differences. God is the Father. Jesus is the Son, and that came down to be a man. And then the Spirit of God dwells in us if we have put our faith in Christ. They are three different yet equal parts of one God. Not even just parts, three distinct persons in one God. And then three, they are perfectly united. And that's the implication. That's the thing I want us to think about, is that there's perfect harmony. And so that holds a lot of outcomes, but one of them is this. God literally is a fellowship. God is a friendship that exists between those three persons in one God. What that means is that we did not come from loneliness. Like, God wasn't some being up there going, man, you know what I'm really missing is lesser beings to just worship me all day. I need that. He didn't need that. He didn't need that. He has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They exist in a friendship, in a fellowship. He didn't need to create us so that we would praise him, but he wanted to, which means we came from friendship. And that's why we're made for friendship. That's why we're made for relationship. And when you think about it, that makes sense in the way it plays itself out in our lives. Like, think about some of the last arguments or conflict you've had with others and how it kind of eats at you. I remember when I was in middle school, there would be times where my mom or dad would be driving me to school and we'd get in an argument sometimes. Anybody ever been there on the way to school? Oh, it's terrible. Maybe even sometimes as you're pulling up, like everything was going great, and then something happens and you get into an argument right as they're pulling up to the school. And like, you know, you get out. And after you have this argument, and you can kind of pretend like everything's fine when you see your friends, but as the day crept on and on and on, closer to the time that my parents would pick me up after school or after practice or whatever, it would eat at me more and more, this idea of, oh, what's it going to be like when I get back in that blue minivan? What's it going to be like? Are they going to be frustrated at me? Am I going to be frustrated at them? And the times that I got in that blue minivan, and the first thing my parents said was, hey, how was your day today? It was like this relief lifted. Has anybody ever felt that where it's like, okay, we're good. We're going to be good. Like this relief. We want to be whole. We want to be right in right relationship with other people. It eats at us when we have conflict because we were made from friendship. It's a picture of that Trinitarian, that triune friendship that we came from. 1 John 1 verses 3 through 4 will say that our friendship with God through Jesus is what makes our friendship with others joyful. That's what gives us joy. The friendship that we have with God through Christ is what gives us joy in our friendships with each other. And then even to go a little bit farther, right? We've read when God creates everything. What's the one thing he says is not good? Anybody know? It's man being alone, right? He's like, wind, good. Palm trees, good. Peacock, don't change anything. But man being alone, not good. So God creates Eve, which is not just this testament to marriage and relationships, but it's a testament to friendship. and companionship. And Adam's so happy, he bursts into song. And you realize, hey, just to be happy in the presence of a friend is a gift from God. But that's not the only reason it wasn't good. The other reason is because you have to think about it in the light of this mandate that God gave to Adam. Okay, what's that word I just said? Mandate. What it's not is a bunch of dudes watching football together. That's not what mandate means. Mandate is like a command with purpose. And so the command that God gives Adam is subdue the earth and fill it. Be fruitful and multiply. God puts Adam in the garden and he tells him, hey, take care of the garden. Hey, this world I put you in, take care of it. Make it grow, cultivate it. And so the command, the purpose that God gives Adam and that God gives all of us is to cultivate his creation, to go into the world and cultivate the goodness of God. That means bring out the goodness that God has created into the world. Bring order where there's chaos. Bring goodness where things are not good. Bring light where there's darkness. And one of the reasons it was not good for Adam to be alone is that God knew that Adam needed help in that. He couldn't do it alone. He needed the power of companionship. And that's why we do small groups. So that as you try to live out your faith, as you try to walk with Jesus, to love God and love other people, and to bring that goodness of God into the world, that you have other people that you do it with, encouraging you, challenging you, strengthening you. That's why we do small group. So friendship was founded in creation. And not only that, it flourishes in the gospel. So let's take a minute to be reminded what the gospel is, how incredible it is. We'll check out Titus 3. It says, once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But, and this is a big but, when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out that Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will have eternal life. So what is the gospel? Is it not that God knows how broken we are? God knows everything about us, but chooses the work of saving us through Jesus? Is it not this, that Jesus knows how broken we are and sticks around to love us anyway? That's what the gospel is. We are broken and God knows it. And Jesus knows it as he's hanging there on the cross and he says, no, it's worth it. I'm doing it because I love them. And I would tell you, is that not what a good friend is? Somebody that knows how broken you are, knows the dark parts of you, knows the parts that like you're a little embarrassed for other people to know, and sticks around to love you anyway. That's what a good friend does. Like, if you were to think about some of your closest friends, they probably know stuff about you that you would be probably hesitant to share in this big room with everybody. Or if you don't, like probably that idea, if you're really honest with yourself, that people would know who you are and you wouldn't be ashamed of anything that they could find out because they knew everything and they would still love you. Like you want that. You yearn for that because that's what we have in the gospel. And that's why friendship flourishes in the gospel, because the gospel is the greatest picture of friendship in a broken world. We have been singing a song for 160 years since it was written like in 1855, called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That song's been around for a long, long time. All your parents that love country music probably heard Alan Jackson sing a cover of it just last year. I don't know how many of you listen to Alan Jackson, so that's fine. I don't listen to a ton of him myself, but that's fine. But What a Friend We Have in Jesus has been around a long time because Jesus is the greatest picture of friendship. And then 1 Corinthians 1 will go even farther to say, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. this idea that we receive comfort from God. We receive grace and eternal life and salvation from God through Jesus. And because of that, because the heart of the gospel is that God knows every part of us but loves us anyway, we are able to be that kind of friend to other people. Friendship flourishes in the gospel. And it's founded in creation. So, how do I be this kind of friend? That might be the question you're asking. How do I be this kind of friend? And we're going to talk about that over the next several weeks. Like, what is vulnerable? How do I be this kind of friend in specific situations? What does that look like? But what I want to leave you with today, just a practical step, is this idea of a formula. And so the world is full of formulas that help us understand how it works. Like, we could go to the top of the roof of this tower, drop a bowling ball off the side of it, and we would be able to calculate pretty accurately how long it would take to hit the ground. We could look, if you're playing pool out there in the lobby and you've got a certain kind of triangle, you could figure out the distance and the angles and all that stuff just by using this one formula called the Pythagorean theorem. Now, you're sitting there going, I was told there would be no math today, and that's fine. But I only say that to say friendship has a formula. And so I want to give you a formula for friendship. And friendship is a lot of things, but here's a formula for friendship. Vulnerability plus time equals friendship. And if you want to know how to be a friend, it is as simple as that. Be vulnerable. Be you. Authentically, honestly, you. Not like hiding secrets, not only sharing parts of the truth, but sharing the full truth, sharing your struggles, your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. Being vulnerable, and then keep doing it over and over and over again for a long time. Proverbs 17 will say, a friend loves at all times. Proverbs 27 will say, the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. A friend cannot give advice if they don't know what to give advice to. It takes vulnerability. And I bet if you were to think about your deepest friendships, they come from those two things. They come from when you're spending the night at a friend's house and it's like a bunch of people and you and a friend are like, you're the last, like you haven't fallen asleep yet. While you're waiting to fall asleep, you're just talking about stuff. Maybe it's watching a bunch of movies together. Maybe it's playing hoops together. Maybe it's playing video games together. Maybe it's telling your friend about some accomplishment that you're really excited about, some prospect, man, you hope is going to happen, or some disappointment that you feel because something didn't happen or something didn't go your way. And it's just a lot of those moments stacked up over a lot of time. Like, when you think about your deepest friendships, I bet that's what makes them up. Are a lot of those little times where you're being vulnerable and you're doing it for a long time. It's just vulnerability and time. And so for me, to be vulnerable with you, I would tell you the hard part about this for me is the time piece. I don't do a great job always of making time. But for you, if I had to guess, it's probably vulnerability. Because the truth is, it's easy for you guys to not have to be vulnerable and still have this idea of friendship, this picture of friendship with Google chat, with texting, with any social media, Zoom, on and on and on. And I would tell you it's not. The more connected you are virtually, probably the less connected you are actually. And an example I would give for that is that, man, no punctuation has had a better run since we've gone more virtual over the last, 10, 20 years than the exclamation mark. All right, here's what I mean by that. If you're texting with somebody, maybe it's your mom or dad, maybe it's a friend, and they say okay without an exclamation, without any punctuation, just okay, you're like, okay, well, did I say that wrong? Are they like a little frustrated? Do they not understand? Like, are they just blowing me off? Do they just not even really read it? If they say okay with a period, then you're like, all right, what did I do? They're mad at me. Like, we all feel this way. But if they say okay with an exclamation mark, it is so normal But in reality, nobody talks like that in real life. Like if you were to walk in the lobby and say something to somebody and said, okay, that would be weird. Okay. You probably wouldn't say anything back. You'd be like, okay, a little too excited there. But that's what an exclamation mark does. It's okay. And instead we really kind of say it with a period. Okay. But the exclamation mark now is the normal. If it's not an exclamation mark, what is wrong? And that's an example of the more connected we are virtually doesn't necessarily mean we're actually connected. Because you lose things when you don't hear somebody's voice. You lose things when you don't interact face to face, when you don't see them, when you're not with them. And I want to just challenge you guys. Time by itself does not equal friendship. It's shallow. But vulnerability breeds more vulnerability. Been in ministry for a while, and I can't tell you how many groups I've been in where somebody shares something hard, and somebody else says, well, I wasn't going to share this, but... And then they go on to share too. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And so here's my challenge to you. As easy as it is to access the virtual, man, try to lean into the physical as much as you can. I'm not asking you to pretend like there's not a pandemic, but don't just settle for cheap friendship. Like you could have a 500-day snap streak with somebody and know nothing about them. And that's not real friendship. It's not. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having snap streaks with people. But I am saying there's something wrong if that's your only friendship. So let's lean into the physical. Do the best you can. Even a phone call is better than texting. I know. Talking on the phone is weird. I get it. Like if I were to call up a guy in my community group and just be like, what's up, Daniel? And he'd like, yeah, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm just checking in. He'd be like, okay. Like, I understand that would kind of be weird. But like, man, shouldn't we do that? We got to lean into the physical more because we are being pushed to the virtual and we're not actually being connected to people. And you're losing the vulnerability piece and you need vulnerability for friendship. And if we're going to be friends in 2021, the kind of friends that God created us to be, we got to be vulnerable. And so over the next several weeks, we'll talk about how do we be vulnerable? What do godly friendships look like in specific situations? But I just want to end today just by telling you, hey, I want to let you know why this is such an important topic for me is because friendship changed my life. I mean, truly, I could say friendship saved my life. God saved my life through my friends. And what I mean by that is I was your age and I had no idea what the gospel was. I was going through life thinking I had to earn approval from everybody, from the Lord, from everybody around me. And I had acquaintances. I didn't have deep friends. People were nice to me at school, but I didn't get invited to like their hangouts. But some like crazy ways, right when I was around your age, I got invited to be a part of this small group, similar to a small group that you guys have. And it was about 10 other guys in there, and I just started coming every week. And they already had a friendship, and you could see it. And I would tell you, the friendship that I saw in them did two things for me. One, it made me really attracted to the Jesus that they followed, and it made me go, man, I want friendship like that. And they were kind enough to allow me in. And we became friends. And I was headed, look, I wasn't like in a lot of trouble, but I was headed down a path where I would just be living a double life, where I'd be one person in front of this group, one person in front of this group, one person in front of this group, just to get everybody to like me. And it would have led some really dark places. But in that friendship, man, God, one, I put my faith in Christ. And I had good friends who remain my best friends to this day. A couple of those guys were co-best men in my wedding 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. One texted me literally last week as I was preparing for this message, being like, hey, you want to grab lunch? Just how excited I was to see him because he happened to be in town. And we have walked through really hard things together. Times where we've been unkind to each other, even more than unkind. Times where we have told each other, hey, I'm kind of done with you. And we stuck around. And really, they stuck around. Times where we've walked through hard things, where parents are sick and loved ones are sick and kids aren't doing good. And there's a chance that any number of bad things could happen. And we walk with each other through that. And I can tell you, man, it has been the sweetest gift of my life, along with my family, is my friendships that I have that are so close. And I want you guys to have that. And my fear for you guys is that in the world that you're growing up in, which I grew up with the internet too, but like in the world that you're growing up in, it is so easy to just settle for cheap friendship. That's not really friendship at all. And I want you guys to be the kind of friends that God created us to be. And so let's resolve to do that in 2021. Let's resolve to do that together. Let me pray. God, thank you for the gift of friendship. Can I pray that we would be the kind of friends you created us for? God, it is easy to hide parts of ourselves that we don't want to share. God, it's easy to only show people what we want them to see. And it's easy to settle for a snap streak. But there's so much more out there, and it's better because it's the way you've designed it to be good. And so, God, would you give us courage? Would you give us patience? Would you give us love? Lord, to choose vulnerability and to choose time. Would we sacrifice our own time to invest in friends at the cost of our time playing video games or watching movies or whatever that looks like? God, would you give us a heart that's willing to sacrifice to lean in and ask a friend, how are you really doing? And God, I pray for the students in here that go, hey, I would love that. I don't have that. God, I pray that you would bring friends in their life that love you and that are chasing after you just like they are. God, I pray that they would get plugged into a small group. If they're in a small group, God, that they would be honest with that group and say, I want this kind of friendship. Will you guys please let me in? Won't you give us the courage to do that? God, we ask all this, knowing it's by your grace alone, for your glory, and for our good. Amen.